Soap, Pro, and Produce.
How long you've been in ministry, the tenure that you spent time in ministry, it has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with what auxiliaries you have worked or performed in, but has everything to do with the relationship that you have developed with God, which allows you and us an opportunity to hear from God. And if we do not hear from God, that it is impossible to operate in His will. I said last week that we can be in the church, we can be serving in the church, we can be on any board, any auxiliary, we can be the pastor, we can be the minister of music, we can be on the praise team, choir members, we can be the deacon, the deaconess, we can be the pope, we can be whoever, and still be outside of God's will. You can have a title, you can hear concerning your title, and you can be chosen, and yes, you are chosen. Oh my goodness. Just because you are on the finish line or in the race does not mean that you are in the right race. Oh, okay. Recognizing the will of God. Recognizing God's will. I want to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. The 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter this morning. And it's good to see you this morning. And I understand that those of you all that participated or donated, that you had an awesome time with First Lady yesterday. Amen. Bless her. Amen. Yeah, she came home happy, and I won't tell you what time she came home, but I do know what time y'all finished. Amen. Somebody said I didn't know about the after party, but thank you all for blessing her and making her feel welcome as the lady of this house and a part of this ministry. I don't take it lightly because First ladies, or however you want to call it, whatever title you put on it, however you spin it, oftentimes are put aside and are overlooked. And if I be honest with you, that she is the backbone of your pastor. Amen. Amen. She's my support system, and she knows that. Praise God. How many of y'all brought in food for outreach? Jeez. Are we streaming? Woo! All right. Make sure that we get in those items that's needed for our outreach pantry so that we can supply the needs of the hungry and thirsty and needy, and bless the people. And some of the people that we blessed are sitting on your row. Amen. So let's get those items in so that we can fill our pantry up 10 times over. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll begin reading at the 7th verse of familiar scripture. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Your KJV says that the excellency of God, my goodness, of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to talk briefly this morning, something that we all can relate with. Brokenness is the qualification for God's will. Brokenness is the qualification. This dropped in my spirit about one this morning. Brokenness is the qualification for God's will. Brokenness is the qualification for God's will. Before you take your seats, ask your neighbor, have you been broken yet? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Have you been broken yet? Have you been broken yet? This morning before I fell asleep in the presence of the Lord, I was thinking about what had dropped in my spirit. And if you would allow me this morning, this is Bible study and Sunday school all wrapped in one, and our 9 o'clock service as it relates to Freedom Hour. And I was thinking about brokenness, and I said to myself that when I shared this morning, that people are going to say, oh, yeah, I've been broken. Oh, yes, I've been broken. And the reason why that stuck out to me this morning is because we can never equate the brokenness or the broken pieces that we've allowed to take place in our life, people, places, and things that we've allowed to come in to break us, to equate or parallel that to God and who He is. When I'm talking about brokenness is a qualification, a prerequisite, a prelude to what God wants to do concerning His will, I'm talking about when you allow God, and most of us don't allow Him to, but when God breaks you to fulfill His will inside of you. That thing I sat and meditated on that last night, this morning rather, and it bothered me because I've realized that I've had to go through some things, not the things that was created by me, but I've had to go through some things that was created and willed by God so that I can be in His path of righteousness. And it makes no difference whether or not I wanted to go through it. The difference is that He chose me to be His mouthpiece and said, before you are my mouthpiece, I've got to take you through some training, which is going to call for me to break not just you, but some things that are inside of you so that you can operate effectively in my will. Effectively in my will. Paul is speaking on the power of God, and he says that we have this treasure. Different translation says in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. Before the great power that is inside of us can be unleashed or released, we must be broken like the jars of clay and the jars that Gideon used to defeat the Midianites. When Gideon defeated the Midianites with a handful of soldiers, they were carrying clay jars, and not only were they carrying clay jars, Minister McLean, they were carrying trumpets. It was obvious that victory could have come from God, only Himself, because technically they were not equipped with the normal tools that we will use for battle. Isn't it amazing that God will give you something that you do not consider or would not consider the very thing that you would pick up in battle in order to defeat your enemy? And God gives you something totally contrary. Come on, a jar of clay and a trumpet. He would give you something totally contrary to what you even imagined or prayed for. Isn't it a struggle that He would give us people in our life that we have not thought about, or we have not sized up, or we have not written in our book of life concerning on this earth, that God gives us things, people, places that are contrary to the direction that He wants to send us in? I wonder why. I just told you, because He wants to get all the glory. The Bible says, let him who boasts in the Lord. Let him who boasts in the Lord. When we are broken vessels of clay, you got to understand that God's power shines. And y'all know the story. When we're broken, and all the glory belongs to Him. This is why Paul says, but God has chosen, watch this, the foolish things of the world to shame, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world. And the despised God has chosen those things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 27 through 29. I want to turn your attention real quick. This is Bible study to Matthew 14. And we read an amazing story about a miracle where Jesus fed a multitude with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not only did he serve the people and feed thousands with this small luncheon, but the Bible says that after everything was over, they had enough to fill, watch this, 12 baskets full of bread and fish, which was left over. But before the small lunch became a mighty feast, watch this, before it became great, before they were able to do those things, Jesus did something that was powerful. The Bible says that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up toward heaven. Watch this. He blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them what? Food. He blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples. He gave them food to bless the people with. He blessed the food. He took the loaves and 2 fish, looking up toward heaven. He blessed the food, breaking the loaves. He gave them to his disciples. Make me excited right there. And the disciples gave them to the people. The disciples gave them to the crowd. Now, I want us to notice something here, because something happens that's very important that we cannot miss. I've never heard this preached like this before, but I'm going to give it to you. Jesus did 2 things. These are my 2 points today. I want you to hear me clearly. Did 2 things. First, he blessed the food. Say, he blessed the food. Second, he broke it. Okay. He blessed the food, number one. And second, he broke it. Jesus only will bless what he breaks. He will only bless what he breaks. God can multiply. I can go home right here on that note. He only will bless what he breaks. Oh, man, I want to go somewhere else. He only will bless what he breaks. God can multiply only what has been broken. Verse 20 says, it's careful. Watch this, to specify this concerning the baskets left over because of the broken pieces. And it says they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. And at the end of our lives, when all of us have said and things are done and everything has been consumed, the only parts of our lives that will have a lasting value, will have testimony, watch this, are the broken pieces. In fact, you're going to be known by the broken pieces that are in your life. Let me tell you why. The broken pieces in your life make up your testimony. Because you would not have a testimony if it were not for your broken pieces in your life. Notice that the broken pieces in every single one of us in here are thinking right now. We're reminiscing on the broken pieces that are in our life. And although we're still, we're in this place and we're living in his will that we think we are, we still have some broken pieces that are still trying to we're still trying to put them together. But I'd be here to tell you that God has broken some things in your life so that he can make your life. And the very things that we despise, the very things that we complain about, are the very things that God says, I need to be broken in your life so that I can use those broken pieces in your life so that I can get the glory. If you want to know the story of God, then you're going to look at the broken pieces. In fact, everybody that was somebody in the Bible that God chose and they got called, he chose them because, watch this, you know, because they were broken people. Every story that is written in the Bible was written because there was a piece of the story that was broken. And God says, I'm going to use the broken pieces to get glory for myself and to write a story concerning you. I'm going to make you great using the broken pieces. Isaiah 66:2 says, this is one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices, watch this, of God are a broken spirit. Oh, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Hebrews 11:21 speaks about the great patriarch Jacob. And at the end of his life, describes him by saying he leaned on the top of his staff. Why is this so detailed and important? Why even mention this? It is worth mentioning because Jacob had been defined by an encounter, watch this, with the Lord that left him broken. When Jacob had an encounter with God, it left him broken and it left him with a limp that reminded him concerning the encounter. Oh, good God Almighty. See, when you encounter God, I feel it. When you encounter God, you will not leave the way that you came. Oh, man, when you encounter God, the thing that you thought was whole will now be broken and you'll have a limp. That limp is not for you to boast and say, hey, look at my limp. It's say, hey, look at and see what God is doing in my life. Watch this. Your limp compels one to come to you and ask you about it. Nobody approached you before you had the limp. So the fact that you have a limp invites people to come in and ask questions, to converse so that you can have a conversation concerning the things of God and what he has done in your life. I know it doesn't sound real good what we want to do, but I'm telling you this morning that the limp that you have in your life is on purpose. I'm telling you the pieces that are broken in your life this morning are broken on purpose. On purpose. Why? So that God can get the glory. The broken pieces that are in your marriage, the broken pieces that are in your parental status, the broken pieces that are in your financial status. I know some of that we created, but the broken pieces that God has allowed to be broken in your life that he actually performed are for his glory. And we run from brokenness. We run from brokenness. The church, when people get saved and they give their life to Christ, haven't really experienced the brokenness that God is going to do in their life. The training ground is tough. Let me get real. The training ground is tough because the very people that we train with, the very people that God called and positioned in your life can be the very people that break you into pieces. And we're saying, God, why did you send these people into my life to destroy me and to break me down into pieces? Why did you send him or her into my, why did you send them into ministry? Now, I'm not talking about something directed by the devil, Satan. I'm talking about what God allowed to happen. You see, Jesus chose and called Judas. He was a part of the discipleship. He was a disciple. He made a decision. I wonder, the amazing thing about the Judas story is that when Judas sold Christ out, when he sold Jesus out, Jesus still was standing with open arms and was willing to accept him back at the table. It had to be a part of God's will that was going to happen for Jesus to be on this journey to the cross. We struggle with people in our life because they chip away at us. And God is saying, you need those folks in your life to chip away because they're going to make you greater and they're going to make you stronger and it's going to give you great testimony. If you have nobody chipping away in your life, watch this and don't misconstrue this. You won't be recognized. Don't take me there. The reason why you need to be recognized is so that they can see God in you. Now, I don't want you to think of you need to be recognized so that you can boast. No. The reason why God has placed a limp in your life so that people can recognize a limp and it'll compel them to have conversation so that you can share testimony. If you've never been through anything, then what are you going to tell me? If you never had any struggles, then what are you going to share with somebody? How are you going to share anything without any struggle? If life has been perfect, then what are you going? Why do you need God? I can't even finish preaching what I'm supposed to preach. Listen, if everything is good in your life, then why do we need God? Let me get you here. Most people would have seen Jacob's limp as a handicap. I'm helping somebody this morning. But Jacob knew better. His limp was the momentum of his life. And it was life-changing concerning the encounter with God, which left him broken and leaning. The broken Jacob was the blessed Jacob. The broken Jacob was the blessed Jacob. Oh my God, he was broken and he was leaning. And this was the Jacob who became mighty, a patriarch and the father of a nation that bears his new name, Israel. Oh my goodness. Won't God change your name? Won't God change your name? Let me close with this. At the Last Supper, I wish I could expound on that. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread of communion and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This brokenness that he spoke about was the crucifixion he would soon have to endure. That brokenness would loose the greatest power the world has ever known. He says, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, watch this, recognize, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's Galatians 2 and 20. When we are crucified with Christ, this death to self, watch this, is a brokenness that allows the life of Christ to flow out of us. And Jesus was the ultimate living example. And when he was broken and life began to flow out of him, it created a life pathway for us. And when you're broken and when you've been broken into pieces, it creates a life and a pathway for somebody else. And I'm telling you that you're not just broken for yourself, but because of the glory of God, you have to be broken so that you will have testimony. And we run from brokenness. We challenge God. And I know you said it, if this is the life that you have for me, then why did you choose me? And you need to stop being selfish and get out of your own self and start to look to God for these things. And there's a reason why you've been broken. And if you're going to operate in the will of God, you got to figure out why did God choose you to be broken in the areas. Woo, I'm about to come down. I'm about to give you the reason why you're going to recognize God's will. When you look at your brokenness, that is the will of God for your life. And if that's the will of God for your life, then you know where you should be operating in ministry. We walk around here for 15, 20 years, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Where's your brokenness? Where's your limp? Where's your blindness? Where's your greatest struggle? Why does your heart beat? What makes you get up in the morning? What moves you? What proves you? What's the very thing that you want to do and change? You heard me preach it. What is it that you hate? What you hate will be the very thing that you have dreams and visions over to change. Let me say this. People that have names and have done things in their life, we know them of having a great status. They are at that level because they made a decision to change something that they hated. The advocate for rape was raped. The advocate for domestic violence has been a part of domestic violence. The advocate for all these things, catastrophic events, the crisis that you are facing in your life is a part of the will of God for you to advance. In the kingdom. That's a tough pill to swallow. Because I've had people ask me, Pastor, why would God allow this to happen to me? Why would God choose me? Some things we don't have answers to. And you have to be humble enough and intelligent enough to say, I don't have any answers. But one thing I can tell you is that God's purpose is for you to live and not die. This world has been yielded over to the prince of the air. And as you know, even in the church today, I'm about to be real with you, even in the church today that we have, I promise you, those of you that was here at 8:30, I knew nothing about teaching about this or talking about it, but the church and the body of Christ today now, we have yielded over to a liberal type of ministry where we allow any and everybody not to come in, because you know what, I believe they should come in, but we have allowed any and everybody to operate in ministry because we don't want to hurt one's feelings. But I'll tell you right now that it's problematic, because you begin to compromise the gospel and the word of God and go against what God says. We don't want to hurt any feelings, and we don't want to cause damage to this organization or that organization. But when is the people of God in the body of Christ going to stand up for what we believe in and what we teach and what we preach and what we read about? Where is the God of the Bible in the church? We've become relaxed and comfortable. We want to fill the seats. We want everybody to be great and smiling and happy. Let me tell you something. If you read your Bible in its entirety, every day it's not going to be sunshine. And if you read your Bible in its entirety, every day it's not going to be nice and it's going to be glorious and all this stuff. No, it's a mindset. Because even when it's raining outside, I can still praise God in the midst of the situation. And even when I don't have the vehicle that I really need and really want, I can still praise God. It's a mindset. And even when I'm not living in the address or at the address that I believe I'm to have, it's a mindset to still praise God. And even though I'm still walking with a limp, and even though I still have certain types of things going on in my mind and in my body, it's a mindset to continue to praise God in spite of. I wish we had time. I want to, you know, we're doing this recovery ministry. It's coming up, and I've been having meetings, and it's going to touch some people in the church, but in its entirety, it's going to reach people far from the church. I said it's going to reach people far from the church. What people, Pastor? People who've never had an encounter with God. Some been in church all their life, and now they're far away because they believe something that the church told them that was far from the truth. And somebody told them, when you give your life, you're not going to have any struggles and any issues, and life's going to be just smooth. And they lied to them, and they believed it. And so when they went through something, they just ran far, far, far away from the church. And it's our job and our duty to call them and bring them back into the fold, into the body of Christ, not to allow them to just run off. Where's the church? I believe the church is supposed to go in and speak to whoever will hear and listen. That's what street evangelists. People don't mind going into the ghetto. People don't mind going to the White House. See? It's for everybody. What's the church is going to stand up to? Homosexuals. Heterosexual. Come on. Yeah. Atheists. Buddhists. With all these different beliefs, where's the church is going to talk about life? And there is no life except in Christ Jesus. Where's the church at? Where we at? Why? Many in the body of Christ are losing. Many churches are losing. Are losing because we've been compromising. You can love and not compromise. Just because they're not saved and you are saved, you can still have a conversation. An intelligent conversation. And let me tell you something, you can't go about the conversation quoting scriptures. Pleading the blood, not yet. Your conversation should be covered in the blood. That means what you talk about is sound. Do not give in to those conversations that are not edifying to the kingdom. We struggle with that in the church. Oh man, let us stand and pray. And while we're yet standing, we're gonna, as Elder Bass come, we're gonna take offering, and he's gonna share some things, but I wanna pray. Right here, right now. Grab the hand that's closest to you. Grab the hand that's closest to you. Today, God, we thank you for bringing us closer to your will. I know many times many of us are looking for an audible voice, but there are signs that you've given us to recognize your will. One of the greatest signs that we realize today, Father, is the sign of brokenness that you place in our lives. Now that we're looking at things different, and we see things differently now, help us to get back to the place that we need to be in. Help us to stop running from your will. Help us to embrace the very thing that we don't like. Help us to love on people that we despise. Help us to pray for ones even the more when we don't really want to pray for them. Help us and teach us to remove self because of the afflictions of life and of man. But most of all, Father, we thank you. For you said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you shall deliver us out of them all. Today we give you glory. We give you glory for our brokenness. We give you glory for walking around with a limp that you placed in our life. for the memory. Thank you for recalling some things. Father, we repent right now for not operating in your will. We repent for not being obedient to your will. God, we want to be in that rightful place with you. Thank you for allowing us back in. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise as Minister Bass comes.
Amen, amen. Come on, let's get the Lord a hand for using our pastor this morning. His obedience, always doing thus says the Lord. Amen. You may be seated as I have a couple announcements. Prepare yourself for tithes and offerings.
SoPro and Produce.